very excited. It's kind of like one of those, you know, in your mind how everything would be better like maybe 6 months from now, but it never works that way. You know, it's like you just got to jump in the frying pan and just get done. It's amazing how that tends to be, you know, from what I see for myself and all my friends, and that when you get things done, it's because of something like this that shows up. It's like, oh my gosh, I got to get my act together.
It's a catalyst.
And you can have self-imposed things like that too. So this way the universe could, okay, Susan, it's time for you to, and
right.
But you can also force that on yourself too. It's like, okay, the first time I was going to do a live event, I was scared out of my wits and I kept putting it off for years. And finally said, this is the date. We're doing it. We invited people. You have to do it. Right.
So. Right. Exactly.
We're never ready. It's like if you had to be ready to have kids, like in the perfect time and spacing, would any of us have kids? It's like, well, we have this to do and that to do and all this other stuff, but you just bite the bullet and you do it. So congratulations. Exactly. Good for you.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
Right. So I see lots of people on. Is Lynn, I hope she comes on because I wanted to share a win for Lynn as well. So welcome to our open coaching call. This is the May open coaching call. We actually, when I looked at the calendar, it looked like we had one this week and next week. And the intention was that the retreat would take the place of one of those calls. And so, we're canceling. You'll get an email about that. The one that's scheduled for next week. And the main reason is that my kids are in town for only a week and they're leaving next Friday, and I don't get to spend time with them again for, you know, months on end or a long, long time. So I decided I'm going to clear off my calendar as best I could. I rescheduled a bunch of stuff just so I have the availability to just hang out with them, because it's, you know, your best connections with your kids is when it's spontaneous, not when it's planned. And so if I had the time and space, then we could have discussions and I can spend time with them. That, you know, half the time they're probably off with their friends. But anyway, so next week's call, like, this is canceled. I think when we set it up and Doreen looked at the calendar, she said, oh, she can't do it here and there. So she put them 2 weeks in a row. Usually they're alternate weeks, not realizing that the retreat counts as one of them, a lot more than that. So I wanted to share, you know, you guys, Susan just shared how she had a win. A friend called her up and said, come and do a presentation for their UPS group. Maria had a big win last night. She came and did our sweet spot. Wasn't she amazing? Holy cow. Those folks were like on fire talking about how inspired they were, not realizing how much exercise really impacted their brain. What a brilliant thing. We were brainstorming that. Like, I think the brain is the best way to go with this. And what? So people were like, one woman went for a walk during the call. That's how inspired. I mean, so thank you, Maria. Maria did a great job. Hopefully you'll start to see them signing up for your thing. We're going to send an email out tomorrow to remind them that that's happening. And I'll remind them on the call that I have right after this. So congratulations. Lynn Rose texted me. I had told her to go ahead and at breakfast, I think it was, we were talking about something like, you need to do a program on this. And it never occurred to her to do a program on dirty electricity. And there's equipment, there's a little meter. So I suggested that she do a kit, or she do a DIY kit, or a done for you service offering. Go to their house, plug this little thing into all their meters, find their dirty electricity, sell them the little plugs that go into it, or sell them the meter and write a little ebook that they get that teaches them how to DIY. And we had this great conversation. I said, well, you call the company that you buy this from and find out if they have an affiliate program. And then you can be making a little commission on what you're selling. She texted me yesterday and said, yay, she has it. So I'm going to have her be, I'm going to be her first customer, because Come to my house and find my dirty electricity and help me fix it, right? So it's just like, you need a kick in the butt sometimes, but it's the way to go. Because I know that you know so much, Susan, as you may not believe it yet. You heard from a lot of people. You know enough. You, all of you, know enough to help people who are two steps behind you, right? And so two steps behind you isn't that much. And you're not going to help the people who are two steps ahead of you. Yes.
Just, I have a funny comment on that because I was I called my youngest son because I coached him for public speaking all through 4-H, and he actually won state grand champion on it. So, and I'd forgotten I had done that. So it's like, I can do this.
Yeah.
Granted, I'm not doing kid level, I'm doing adult level, but still. So I called him just because I was just so incredibly excited. I didn't know what to do with myself. And I told him, I said, however, it's an hour. Couldn't it just be 20 minutes? And he said, Mom, he said, are you kidding me? He says, you'll be lucky if you can keep it to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? He says, Mom, you have so much to tell them. Like, that was just so sweet.
It is. And you will realize that if you're doing a 20-minute talk and keeping it on track and concise and getting your points across to the point where you can inspire is really hard. Doing an hour is much easier. Doing 5 days is much easier than that. But that's a little beyond anybody's comprehension. You're going, what, 5 days? And like people like Tony's done a lot of stuff. If you want to chime in and say, you know, talking and getting your message, Isabel's done a lot of speaking. Talking and Laura too, talking and getting it in 20 minutes would be really hard. So you're lucky they did give you an hour because that would be really hard to consolidate down. So if any of you want to, Maria, I'll unmute you. Yeah, go ahead. Did you have your hand up?
Yes, I do have a couple questions.
Okay, so let's get to that in a minute. So yeah. I just want to share people's success. Anybody else have a success that you want to share? I know Tony was on a local TV show, and I posted the link to that, and so many people were just blown away, and the chocolate recipe and all. So congratulations to Tony. And, who else has some wins you want to share? Anybody? Just open up your line. No? You're just too shy. Tony said, thank you.
I wanted to commend Isabel on doing a successful cleanse, the second heart cleanse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was
well
done.
Those of you who don't know, you probably do know that Isabel is going to take over the second heart cleanse from Jane. That's the liver cleanse with the flush and all that. So congratulations to Isabel, too.
Thank you. Can you hear me? Do I sound like a Mickey Mouse?
No, you sound good.
Oh, okay. Oh no, sometimes my sound goes weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just want to thank you everyone at the retreat and give me good input. And I came home, and every time I attend the retreat, I come home with a different mindset. So this is good. And, you know, we're talking about unproductive, right, unfocused. So, and here I come home, and my husband, I receive all these inventory for the second heart cleanse. And my husband, when I came home, he got a fridge, he cleaned up the garage, and everything was put away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, I think I should learn from him, you know, get things done.
But that's something that forces action, right? You get these boxes and, you know, especially if the box has to be refrigerated, right? You can't say, oh, I'll do that later, right? So there's certain external and extrinsic and intrinsic motivation. And someone, I don't remember who was talking about that, the very much extrinsically motivated, but we want to also learn to be intrinsically motivated, like just motivated to get stuff done just because it feels good to us.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like making my list and try to stay on track. Well, so far, so good. So yeah,
good.
I'm happy.
Congratulations. Awesome.
I just want to try. Say, I'm so proud of Isabel. I was fortunate enough to do, they invited me to do a little bit of the cleanse and to act as a coach. And I think that she did a phenomenal job guiding people and helping people feel comfortable. And I'm just so grateful that you're continuing the work, because I think you're just going to continue to support and help so many people and grow yourself. So yeah. Thank you for a great job.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your support. And yeah, with you, you know, adding with you coming onto the team, I feel so much more comfortable. So yeah.
Awesome.
My pleasure.
Awesome. All right.
And well, you know, for those at the retreat, you probably remember that Isabel and I talked about, or I shared that idea about implementation day. So we're going to kickstart that on the 4th of June. We're going to do every first and third Monday of the month. And I think we cannot use NAPT to form an event, right, as a calendar. Or we can just share there. Or
if you wanted to do it, I think you can create an event.
I'm not sure if...
ask Lynn, you know. No, they can't.
Well, she can't because she's not an admin.
Oh, okay. So if you want to do that, is that something we could do and set that up, Lynn, and just let people know that that's going to happen if anybody wants to get together for implementation days?
Sure.
I'll send you all the data, Lynn, so you basically...
Or make her an admin for a day and let her do it herself. It'll say, just make her an admin and then take her off admin.
Yeah, I can let you know, Lynn, when would be this weekend. I think that I will do that.
That would be easier. Just let her set it up. And we could always edit it if she says anything raunchy in there, you know.
No, I'll just put basically the details and the dates. I'll set several ahead with a link of the Zoom and basically explain what it is. And so at least people can sign up and be reminded, because Isabel and I are not going to be doing these emails and managing things.
It's just a thing. And Facebook, once you set it up as an event, and I think you can set up recurring events. So you might be able to set up recurring and it just will send notices to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay, Lynn, I'll be in touch with you to say, to see when is a good day. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're excited to get on this thing and we all can leverage.
Perfect. All right. So we're here for open coaching and I want to make sure we're respectful of time. I want to be off of here by 4:30 because at 5:00 we have our sweet spot, what's next call. And I want to make sure I'm prepared for that. So, this is a call where you can ask anything about anything really. If it's not appropriate, I'll tell you it's not appropriate, but yeah. Maria and then Laura. So Maria, go ahead.
Sure. Okay. One of the things is, I think this is going to challenge me. So I just, open, my thoughts for it. I got a phone call, asking for me to actually do a presentation of a company. They're about 19 people and they're doing some biometrics. And, this is a recruiting staffing kind of firm. And, they want me to actually talk about alcohol and, you know, how, I cannot kill alcohol from the discussion and say they cannot drink it. I cannot talk about too much about the negative side effects of alcohol, but I can talk about, minimizing or smarter options, in those circumstances, including I can talk about alcohol does and induces for foods, you know, junk foods and things like that. I can talk about, okay, if you manage the consumption of alcohol, even do some trades and things like that, this is what you can do for your health.
Mm-hmm.
So I just got this call yesterday and obviously I was not going to say no to it. I know you don't drink. I wonder if any thoughts that come to your mind on this?
Well, so you're trying to help them to minimize the consumption, to see the negative sides of it, not to be like they have to be Mormon or, you know, a Christian Scientist about it where it's absolute. You could share the kinds of circumstances under which they would want to consider a complete abstinence for a while, i.e., you know, recurrent yeast infections and overgrowth, history of liver disease or alcoholism. So you can talk about it in a way that doesn't say, well, that everybody, hey, you guys, they're going to hate you if they'll throw tomatoes at you if you tell everybody.
They're having a happy hour during. So,
but how do you minimize that, right? How do they take away the sweet, sugary, syrupy garbage that they put with it. You could talk about how it decreases inhibition and makes them eat more, so they have to be aware of that. You can talk about how it depletes B vitamins. And when I shared that with my brother in the attempt to try to get him to quit drinking, he just bought a nice bottle of B vitamins. And every time he drank, he'd take a bunch of B vitamins and it would dissipate the hangover a bit. So that kind of stuff. So look up specific nutrients that the alcohol will inhibit and then help them to know that they need to be eating foods rich in those things. So if they're having their glass of wine and they're having it with the big salad or crudite plate with cashew dip, it's going to be a lot different than going to the bar and eating it with buffalo wings and all that other garbage. So like helping them to do the whole trade thing, right?
Yes.
So if you want to have your wine, here's some of the things you should also be making sure that you maximize. So that's kind of thing. But you have to think also when you're doing a talk and when you're writing a presentation, whenever you're doing anything, what's the end game? What's the call to action you want them to take? Right? Because you don't want to just go out there and do a free presentation or even a paid presentation that they're paying you a minimal fee for. You're not doing it for the money of that. You want to create a momentum and you want to create potentials for people following up with you. Right?
Yeah.
That's the purpose of going out and talking, quite frankly. We want to spread the word and we want to empower people to take action, but we also need to feed ourselves as well.
Yeah, now she was very interested on my actually online personal training for her employees. She says, I think there is, you know, we travel quite a bit, and I think that there is value for them on that. Mm-hmm. And obviously my goal over here with her is to get names and people to sign up and offer them a free class. They can jump in. Also to discuss other things with her since the HR, she is the HR, maybe there's programs I mentioned about. The funny thing is when she said the number of employees, I understood 1900 and I said, holy cow. And then she's like 19 and I'm like, oh, okay. It's quite different. But then, you know, because she's bringing the biometrics in. And I mentioned about, you know, actually blood sugar because I thought, okay, this could be actually a great candidate for my testing on a corporation. And she's like, not 19, but she did say, well, I don't know about the blood sugar, but high blood pressure, I know that it's a problem here. So anyway, so I said, well, we can discuss about that. But, you know, a lot of times it's caused by actually high blood sugar, especially if your folks are, you know, not eating alcohol and drinking alcohol. That's what I told her. So anyway, so I think there is, you know, a potential here.
Make a list for yourself. Just brainstorm with yourself or with, you know, somebody else. What are all the potential possibilities so that you mold that presentation to lead them to make that decision?
Yeah.
Burning extra calories, right? If they're drinking and they're going to need to burn extra calories the next day, and best way to do it there. Your exercise classes could be a great way for them to have, you know, five of them sign up for one class. I know you take five at the most, right? They can have the little social groups, right? For their group, right? So another cool thing.
Or it could be something that if they have a big screen in the office, they can all do from the office.
They could all do together, right?
Yeah.
Right. That's good. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have one more, but I'll let other people ask. And if you have time.
The only other one with a hand up right now is Laura. So we'll go to Laura and then we can come back.
Okay.
Great. Thanks. All right. Lower hand on Maria. And there's Laura. Hi, haven't seen you in a while. How are
you? Hi, Dr. Marie. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Very good. So great to see you.
It's good to see you too. I wanted to ask a question about myself because this was really interesting. We just got back from Disney World. We were celebrating my mom's birthday and my parents' wedding anniversary.
Nice.
And I noticed it was really fun. It was fun to spend time with them. But I noticed something that was interesting and I was trying to see if it meant something, like catching those patterns. And I've noticed not just with this trip, but with all the trips that I've gone on, I will get a migraine in the afternoon. And it's not on the travel days, it's on the days that I'm in a different place. And this happened in Salt Lake City. It's happened on the retreats that I've gone to with you. It's so weird. And I thought it was because I was absorbing all this like awesome information. Like when I go to continuing ed courses or something and I'm writing everything down, I thought that it was just because I was like taking so much in and my brain was tired or something. But, this was strictly a fun trip and I haven't been on a trip just for fun in a while. And I was kind of surprised when it came on, but it's usually between like 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Like I'll wake up in the morning and I feel fine. And it's something during the afternoon. And it was so weird. I was talking to my mom about it and she said, oh yeah, your grandma got those when traveling. And I used to get them too. And since she got a hysterectomy, it goes away, but I don't really want to do that.
but that's a clue, right?
But it was, that's and usually, you know, yeah, yeah, that's an interesting clue. And when I'm home, I used to get migraines all the time, like 5 or 6 times a week or days a week. Mm-hmm. And when I changed my diet, it changed drastically. And now it's down to maybe 2 or 3 a month. Mm-hmm. And usually I can take care of it with like high dose magnesium and essential oils and coffee enemas, and that'll kind of calm it down. And when we're traveling, the things that I usually do, like lots of magnesium and essential oils, those things weren't working for me. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up taking a leave, which I don't like to do. Mm-hmm. And I was making sure I was really good about drinking lots and lots of water. And there's actually a really cool app called Instacart. This is so cool that people can shop for you. So I picked up mm-hmm. stuff at Whole Foods and they delivered it to the hotel for us. Mm-hmm. And so I just packed a lunchbox and brought my own stuff in and didn't. So I'm not like, I don't think it was a cross contamination thing or mm-hmm. something like that. But it was just a very odd thing that it happened every single day we were there, but not on travel days.
So not when you were traveling like in the car or on a plane or whatever, but when you were in the one set place.
Yeah. Once I get there and now like I'm home and I'm fine. It's so
interesting.
It's so weird. But even on the travel days.
Got them. When they had a hysterectomy, it went away. It says to me, okay, so something related to hormonal balance.
Yeah, because my mom had said, yeah, that happened to your grandma when she would travel and she would always put ice on her head. Like she would get ice from, you know, the restaurants or whatever and put it on her head. And I had a little ice pack in my lunchbox. So I did kind of put that on my head and then put like my baseball cap on and that helps. but I think it's like alarming that I was taking a leave, you know, like 5 days in a row just to kind of get by. And, it shows me how far I've come because I used to take, you know, 2 ibuprofen and coffee every single day to like get through the workday. And I'm not, I don't take any pain medications really ever, but this was something and it worked. I mean, cause my mom was like, oh yeah, the only thing that would work for me is leave. And it helped, but I don't want to be needing to do that every time I travel.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
I know. Isn't that the weirdest thing?
You eat differently when you travel? I mean, obviously you eat differently because you don't make your own food and not everything's organic and all that. So,
yeah, I mean, there's that. I do as much as I can to prevent that. But, you know, when I'm home, I'm doing more like green smoothies and things. When I'm traveling, it's more like, you know, powdered green juices, lots of stuff like in a shaker bottle, like protein powders and things that I can just make in the room because I know the hotel breakfast.
What kind of protein powder do you do?
It's that Ancient Nutrients. It's like a bone broth protein powder. And then I'll put in some collagen peptides, and some water.
At all? No rice?
Oh, no rice.
Rice protein? Okay. Yeah, no, I just started listening. I listen to lots of books on 2.5 speed, so I get through them pretty quickly when I'm running and all this. So I was just listening to Grain, No Pain, Peter Osborne. And he was making the thing that we all think, you know, gluten, you know, when we think of the glutinous grains, but really all of the grains have gluten, including rice and corn, and it's a kind of gluten and the association with pain and with inflammation. And that he's worked with people who had chronic migraines. And once they got off all the grains, and we don't think about, well, I'm off grains. I don't eat grains, but I do rice protein. And that's the protein part. And what's the gluten part is in the is one of the proteins. So they're or something, I can't remember the exact pronunciation, but they're all, it's a type of a protein. So I was just wondering if when you, that's what I said about that when you travel, that maybe there's some other food that you either increase or eat that you don't normally eat at home that might be triggering.
You know, and it's interesting you say that because as much as I try to be really diligent, I did notice the day after, well, the day that we were flying home, my skin broke out. And that usually only happens if I have some type of a grain, you know, something. Mm-hmm. Usually I can tell if I've been gluten really quickly, like within 15 minutes of eating, I'll go, oh, right. But if there's some type of dairy or, oh, that's interesting, Lynn. So yeah, there was, I did change time zones with all of these places too. And I was really cautious about that. Like I made sure to get that I was getting at least 8.5 hours of sleep. Mm-hmm. I really optimized my sleep. But like I went to a leadership conference and same thing. And what I found, if I don't have a leave or something, I oil up with a lot of essential oils. I do like magnesium shots essentially. Mm-hmm. And then I go to bed and I'll sleep it off, until like the next afternoon. Mm-hmm. It's so weird.
But it's interesting that it's not on the days you're actually traveling. It's after you get mm-hmm. there. And even if you're 5 days in the same place where you could have adjusted to the time zone. So that's what makes me not so thinking so much. It's the time zones. Mm-hmm. But when Mom said that she and your grandma got rid of it with the hormones, we know that stress affects our hormones. Travel affects hormones. Some people don't get their periods when they travel because of that. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if there's some, have you ever done a cycle mapping? Might mm-hmm. be a good thing to look at, your Dutch and look at it with the cycle mapping so you can see it, you know, throughout that. So you can see the ups and the downs and you can look to see how your hormones are doing. And if there's certain periods where they go, whoops, or you get estrogen dominant or something like that. I mean, cause it's common to have, cyclical migraines. A lot of people have that related to their sex hormones because women are, you know, cycling women have that variation. So that I think might be something to look at. If you've not done it, it's probably a good thing to look at.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good tip. I'll talk to my doctor about that and kind of, because I think he can order, or I guess I could do it through the website too.
Yourself, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you order through Precision Analytics, you can actually get, they'll give you 5 kits for half price, up to 5 kits. You can just do 1 or 2, but I always recommend get at least 2 because you're going to want to do the first one and then your follow-up 3-4 months later. So with that, so set up an account with Precision Analytics and you can get it half price. If you have insurance that would cover it, great. I don't know how much insurance covers, like if your doctor ordered it and you can get it, but you could set up an account yourself. And I don't think you even have to go through us to do it because I don't know if they take, you know, doctor of physical therapy as a, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah, her name is on the list anyway.
Your name's on the list anyway, of course, but,
okay.
But you may not have to go through us, but I don't know what their variation is. You know, you should be able to.
Because it's been a little while, but maybe like a year or two that my doctor checked hormones and progesterone was low. So we started a bioidentical progesterone. I noticed I slept better with doing that, like days 14 through 28.
Right.
And I was like on the tail end of my period when traveling too. So maybe that is that kind of...
Mm-hmm. And your estrogen was starting to come up maybe a little bit. It got them out of balance. Beauty of the Dutch is you get to see all your intermediates and all that too. You don't just see progesterone, estrogen. You're going to see all the different estrogen metabolites as well. And you can see that through the cycle.
And cycle mapping. The cycle mapping,
the typical one you would do, a cycling female would do on day between 19 and 22.
Okay.
And then, but if you want to do it throughout the month, especially if you're trying to track down something that's could be a cyclical thing, the cycle mapping, you'd be taking probably 8 or 10 samples. Like on the one day, you'd take 4 of the 4 samples, similar to what you do when you do, I think diagnostics does it and some of the others when you do saliva testing, only it's dried urine. So you'd have the one day where you're doing, so you'd get the cortisol variations, but the rest of the time you're just doing one each day, or, and they have it mapped out where it's every other day. And then it gets, as you get closer to ovulation and as you get closer to your period, they change the spacing. They have a very specific spacing.
So this is like a specific, like, the test that you would ask, and then it's done a little bit differently. Yes. Yeah, I've never done anything like that.
With cycle mapping, I think there's an added fee for that. And they have call them up and talk to them. I don't remember the exacts of it, but they have a pretty good deal where you buy the second one, you buy the first one, and it's just a little, very small fee. So call them up and talk to them, and they'll tell you which one to get.
Do you think it might be at all related to the high Epstein-Barr virus titers? I know we rechecked labs like a month or two ago, and everything was looking good, like my B12 and my D. My iron levels were looking, because I had the weird ferritin and iron. That's all been doing a lot better. But those Epstein-Barr virus titers, they're coming down. It's just very slowly. And then I've read that you know, when you've had high Epstein-Barr, it can take years for those to kind of normalize. So I'm like, okay, we're moving in the right direction, which is good.
Yeah, you get a lot of viral load. You've got the Lyme stuff. So your immune system has challenges. The curiosity is just, it generally happens just when you're traveling.
Yeah.
It happens, you know? So I don't really know what to make of it. Maybe I'll wake up in the middle of the night with a aha moment that happens and go, okay, I better write this down or I'll forget. But given what your mom said about her and your grandmother, seems to me that there may be some hormonal thing related to it.
Okay.
Maybe something that if you see that there are certain times that if you're traveling at certain times, you would be able to take more progesterone or, you know, do some more B vitamins and magnesium prophylactically rather than waiting for the headache to happen.
Yeah. Cause that's not fun.
No. Headaches or not. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. You always have interesting things to talk about.
Yeah, we're learning. I learn a lot for myself.
About how we figured out your melatonin connection with the ferritin iron discrepancies. And
that was fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Thank you, Laura.
Thanks.
I see Janine up. I see Janine's hand up. So I'm going to unmute you. Hi, Janine.
Hello.
Hi.
Just a quick question. I've been in a lot of pain all night in my left shoulder. Mm-hmm. And of course, I still have my pain meds that I take as needed. And I've had to take extra, but it's not working. I've applied different essential oils. Then I do have a lidocaine prilocaine cream that's supposed to like numb any area. And I've applied that 4 or 5 times. It's not even touching the pain. I put CBD oil on it. I've done everything. But
so are you still in the mold environment? Or are you out?
No, I'm in the house, but I'm better with that. And the lungs are starting to clear up whatever that was, infection, pneumonia. My chiropractor gave me some kind of oil and mixed it in water, gave it to me, which really helped. So I don't know what that was, but this is the pain from my neck or something in the shoulder. And I'm trying to avoid going to get a Toradol shot or something. I just don't, it's just, I've been in tears all day. If I go to lift it, move it, I found
my sling. Started overnight or just got worse overnight?
Well, it comes and goes, but this one, the last 24 hours, has just been just awful.
Just an ultrasound unit? That sometimes helps with pain.
I don't have one.
And have you got your chiropractor adjusting you, manipulating?
Oh, yeah. He's doing that till I can start the decompression. Yeah. But I'm trying to avoid that. You
have some disc herniations?
Oh, yeah. All through my neck. They're flattening mm-hmm. the spinal cord.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's starting to affect my legs and I'm losing strength in my upper arms and electrical shocks in my hands and my knees. Sometimes they're going out on me now. So, but this is the shoulder, and I just like, is there something I'm missing that I could put on there for pain? Because, you know, I've, you know, even some ice.
Internally, high dose vitamin C can sometimes help with pain. Certain herbs that have analgesic and anti-inflammatory effects, higher dose omega-3s, like 2, 3, 4 grams a day, can be helpful in bringing pain levels down. Things with, like white willow bark, depending on whether it's a cramping type pain or an inflammatory type pain, you choose different kinds of herbs that would help.
It's an intense pain. I know I had a calcium deposit there a long time ago, and the pain had gone away with the adjustments, but I guess my neck, I don't know, maybe everything I've done, he found one that was out of place last week and had to work on that.
How about your diet? Because certain inflammatory foods, right? If you've changed your diet yet, if you had some kind of dietary, exposure yesterday, the day before, that would build up inflammation. Any grains?
No. I've been doing juices. I've made soups, things like that. That's why I'm just like
root cause versus acute pain, you know, symptom relief band-aid, right? So I know you're working with your chiropractor on the neck and on the disc herniations and the whatever mobility you need.
There's no mobility today.
Yeah, but I lift, you know, as far as pain relief, I would be looking at maybe some herbs. I know you don't want to take strong analgesic medications for it, but some of the herbal things that you can look at, certainly keeping your vitamin C levels way high, getting your omega-3s up higher. Things like white willow can be very helpful. Lots and lots of ginger and turmeric, your COX-3 inhibitors. Those kind of things, cramp bark, Jamaican dogwood. These are all kinds of, you read them and then go, okay, that one sounds, the quality of the pain sounds like it would match those. That would be the main things I would be looking at.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the nerve going down all the way. Cause it's like, besides the pain right in the shoulder, I mean, it's right inside there. It's totally tight going down my neck all the way down my forearm, and I'm just holding my breath.
And magnesium, right? Because if it's tightness and it's muscle tension, magnesium.
It's the extra magnesium.
And if it's neurogenic type pain, sometimes things like St. John's wort, I get St. John's wort oil, and I've used that a lot on people. Lobelia. I've taken lobelia, mixed it with St. John's wort oil, a little bit of peppermint oil, and rubbed that in. And people have found that to be very helpful for pain while they're doing the ginger juice every hour, turmeric as much as possible, vitamin C. I would, bowel tolerance on vitamin C, all those kinds of things. Sometimes we try things, but we don't try the quantity that I got. Sometimes it's really crazy quantities that most people would be scared of, but I've had people do ginger juice every hour and find that one guy went off his ibuprofen that he'd been on for 15, 20 years when he started doing the ginger juice every hour for 3 days. And, you know, of course, anti-inflammatory diet.
Yeah. Well, you just gave me an idea because I forgot the, I have some really good black seed oil. So
black seed oil.
That's a neuro, neuro something I was going to share with you before.
Yeah.
There's that essential fatty acid that's in there actually. That's quite amazing. I found out about.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. Just brainstorming. I was like, okay, I tried everything in the house. I've been
taking. Maybe increase the CBD oil internally, right? Not just externally, but.
I did that. That's why I said it's like in my gut is like, oh my gosh. Okay. How much more can I take? You know, but I'll just keep taking some more. I got some, nano liposomal vitamin C, so I'll take that.
Yeah, good. Liposomal turmeric, curcumin works really well as well.
Yeah. Well, I need it now. So I had to just use what's in my home.
Mm-hmm.
So just trying to avoid doing something because it's getting so bad I can't stand it. Ugh. Yeah, I have all the CBD.
Acupuncture.
I've used that. I took it last night and to try to sleep, and it's not working. But okay, I'll add those few other things in there then. Thank you. Okay,
good, yeah. Hope you feel better.
All right, thanks.
All right, so Maria. You had your hand up again. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there's nobody.
I don't see any other hands up, so.
Okay, so, and you know, during the retreat, we work on items, you know, for my immersion program. So now, like, maybe to take, I've been thinking about what to include in some labs as well, some basic labs that I might be able to fit it in at low cost. And I thought, and here is, I have not done the Dutch test. I know it costs more, but I was thinking on the fatty acids. Since most of these people are going to be overweight, maybe it's a good idea to check, you know, their 6 and 3. I thought, you know, the genetic testing is something I already offer for my high-end clients, so I'll put that in. And I was thinking either the BioHealth 205 or the Dutch test. There is a big difference in price there, but I do not have, I don't know, I just wanted your opinion about that. If could be a good way to start maybe the BioHealth, would you?
It depends like what you can start with the BioHealth and go there. It depends. I like the Dutch better. I was giving like my high end clients in ERC, we had a full pay bonus, and I originally had it be the BioHealth, but then I switched it to the Dutch because I just felt like I got more information. So yeah, it cost me like probably $75 more. I think I got the BioHealth for the Dutch for $225 was the practitioner price, and I think
but that's not the price anymore, isn't it? Like, isn't that $300?
If you make an account with them, they'll get you the lower price.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So I pay. Well, I don't know what it is now. It used to be $250, and then half price was $125. I bought 5 kits at the $125, and then you know. The rest of them are now at $250.
If anybody knows the price, would you mind putting on the chat? Okay. Do you know much about the new BioHealth that has, improved with their hormones on their cortisol level?
Where they do the morning challenge kind of thing, where you do the first thing when you first get up and then a half hour later. I like that idea.
Okay, you haven't...
I think maybe we did one. I had one person do it. I haven't done many, but I know how to read it. It's pretty good. It depends on the person. So you may even want to say that there's, some budget that you give them in testing, and then you determine based on their input what they need, right? Somebody's dealing with a lot of inflammatory stuff, arthritis, pain.
Yeah.
You don't want to do a fatty acid test, right? Somebody has got a cardiac risk. You may want to do the advanced lipid profile. So I think you can like have some budget and then you
just... Yeah.
And you should be able to, before you make the offer to them, you'll have enough information maybe to have a sense so that when you make the offer, you go, oh, labs that are included, and you just tell them which labs are included.
Yeah, and if I say this X are standards, you can always say that we can sub one for the other and they pay the difference.
Exactly.
Or pay the difference. Okay.
I could get that one from my doctor but I can't get that one from my doctor. So
yeah. Well, none of these they can get from their doctors.
Well, if you do the standard lab test, that's why I don't include regular blood tests in there, because a lot of them have insurance and they'll go, well, they don't see it as a valuable bonus. Whereas the Dutch test, the 23andMe, the others, these are all tests that, you know, their doctor's not going to run.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm definitely doing the request in their labs, and making suggestions. But, these people paying this amount of money, they're going to have insurance somehow.
Probably.
Likelihood is high that they were going to have some insurance.
And they may have high deductible insurance. Like I have $10,000 deductible insurance. So the only time that ever, even when I had a catastrophe, I had to have surgery, I still had to pay. It was all from my deductible. So they may or may not have that. But
you can always keep it flexible. Yeah. Okay. So now the other thing is, we didn't touch much on that, and I'm just trying to wrap my head around the marketing of this. Would you do any, how would you market this? You know, obviously I have, a list of people who are A, B's and C's. Don't know, I've been out of touch with some people. I don't know if I should go and start just calling people and telling about this.
That's one way to do it.
On Facebook advertising. I don't know if this is appropriate for Facebook advertising. I just don't know.
I think you want to get some under your belt first and get it out there, but I don't think so, because it's going to require a strategy session. It's going to require you speaking to them. When I first started doing a group coaching kind of thing, and I wanted to have 12 people in it, I made a list of people, and I had them reach out and call them for me. You can just call them yourself if you see people that are good candidates, people you've worked with. I'd also send out an email to your list and just describe, just really come from the heart. Like, I've been working with people on this level, and oh my God, the transformations are amazing. And I just thought this was something I wanted to chat with you about. Set up a free consultation, a free strategy session with me. Let's just talk about how I can support you. You can write an email that has some information about hormonal imbalances and accountability and whatever other things. You could have a series of emails that touch on the benefit of these things. And so you just write this just giving kind of an email that gives them information. And then you say, hey, this is something that you want to pursue. Give me a holler and let's set up a time to talk.
What do you think about a video?
Video would be great because you can connect from your heart.
Yeah.
And you can send an email and you can send them to a video. I made this new video for you. I just want you to see. I'm really excited about. And then you just come from your heart. You come from your heart about your philosophy of health and the downside of the Western medicine approach of try to fix it after it's broken, and explaining that that's not the way you work, and the whole problem with Band-Aids, the root cause solutions. And then you can invite them to set up a time. You can have a link right to your calendar system. You have a calendar system. Use it, right? Set aside a few blocks. Say, I've set aside X number of hours to really chat with people and find out what you need. Boom. How can I support you? Right. And sometimes even just saying, I created a really hot new, program where I'm helping people, and these are the results I've gotten with the people that I've done it with so far. And I'd love to chat with you about whether you think that's good for you.
Yeah, talking about that, so I saw that client on Tuesday. And so I had this idea, well, let me go to her house. So, that's going to be part of my program, right? And she's like, yeah, you can come. And had a session there. We're going to do a pantry thing, but with that, doing other stuff. And it was actually a very good session, but I brought my scale. Oh boy, she saw that scale. She got so freaked out. And anyway, so I kind of held her hand, looked into her eyes, and I said, tell me over here, what have you achieved since then, since we met? This. And I said, forget about the freaking scale. This freaking scale means nothing. Let's focus on this. And did a few deep breaths, and she couldn't look at the scale, right? She just stepped on the damn scale, and she stepped away, and I gave her the list where, has several metrics besides weight. She lost 6 pounds, and she's like, this is the first time I lose weight as an adult. And so obviously that gave her kind of a boost, and trust the process. And really, she didn't lose anything in the first 2 weeks. I mean, she was rumbling around So I think this is a good testament that, you know, it's just boosts her up. So, you know, okay. All right. Sounds good. I will look into this cost. Somebody put $250 for this.
Yeah, that's what I think it is, $250.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Great. Janine says, my lipo C is $1,250. How much should I take? You know, if you really want to get, like, intravenous quality doses, you can try 10 to 15 grams a day. So if it's capsules, take 10 of those a day till you get it down. Just keep taking it. Just keep taking it. Like, take it every half hour and see if it cuts the pain. If after several hours it's not even touching it, then, you know, it may not. But, like, you want to get to the dose, and usually if you're in the 10 to 15 grams a day, that's going to be somewhat equivalent to getting an IV vitamin C. So just play with it. I know it's expensive, but BioHealth now has the SIBO hydrogen breath test. I just have a hard time with that test. I'm not sure I like that test. All right, so Susan and then Isabel. Let's go to Susan first. Let's go to Isabel first because she hasn't spoken, and we'll come back to you, Susan. Oh, no, you haven't either. Okay, you were just telling us at the beginning. Go for it. Susan and then Isabel. I'm just looking in my order here.
Isabel can go.
Go for it.
I have two questions. I've got a quick business question, and then I've got a more technical biochemistry question. So I'll ask the quick one first, and then Isabel can go, and if we have time, we'll do the other one. So as Maria was talking, it just occurred to me that, so I do this first little hour presentation. Do I have to have something to offer at the end of it? Because I'm not even there yet.
If you're not there yet, then you don't. Maria's there.
And I just need one-on-one coaching for basics.
If you just want to offer, what I would offer at the end of something like that would be, hey, if you're interested in pursuing this and seeing if I can help you, support you in any health challenges, you know, give me a call. We'll set up a time to chat. That's all.
Okay. And then, because I could have anywhere from 10 to 20 people, I'm told, on this.
Beautiful.
And then, collecting emails. How do you do that?
The best way is to create something free that they have to give you their email for, and you're going to send to them.
Like what?
I don't know. Free. Your top five favorite recipes. Oh, look at that. See how she collected the names? Maria's holding it up. She says, you know, she's going to give them a fun fitness calendar, right? And she gets their name, email, phone number, right? So you create a form like that. You pass it around. And then they sign up. But what can you give them? I mean, I'm sure you have some favorite recipes. Look in on the site in the done for you stuff.
Okay.
Maybe it's an assessment. Maybe it's a hormone assessment.
Okay. Like I just hadn't even considered it. So it's not even in the thought process. So.
Yeah. Yeah, depending on what your talk is going to be about, look for something that would apply. The top 10, you know, detox foods, right? The top 10 foods to support detox. You have that on the site. There's tons of those done for yous that you can pick up.
Okay. I was thinking of going to the self-care angle, because employees don't take care of themselves. And boy, you can cover all kinds of things on self-care. I mean, all seven pillars, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. But think about what they want. Like, what would they, so ask her questions. Like, what do you think their hot top pain point is?
Yeah.
Are they tired? Do they have hormone imbalance? Are they women or men? Are they going to be tending towards menstrual stuff? Like, just try to get a little bit more about the audience and what you think their top pain points are. And then you can create anything. I created a green booklet. You have it in my site, but I created a book. It's like, eat your greens, or I don't even remember what it was, but it basically was why greens are so important, and a little blurb about each of the greens, and then like five recipes. People loved that, and they would sign up like crazy. I'd collect 100 names at a 150 person talk, which is pretty good.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I hadn't considered about finding out who the audience is.
Yeah.
Anybody
else have ideas for her?
Yeah, everybody's stressed in the corporate. There's not a single person who is not. So just a thought that came to me is maybe a checklist or something like that you give them clues from stress management, that you could put something related to food. You could put something related to herbs or supplements. You could put something about exercise. So you can use your pillars of health, right, and put one clue of each. And this be your morning or evening routine or day routine or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they can check, you know, like that. And they wake up, and if you want to divide in times of the day, that's fine too. But just a thought that came to my mind.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right.
Sometimes people like routines and these things that will help them stay in structure, especially if they have families and things like that. They don't have to think. They just look at that thing and pop.
Yeah.
Okay. I like the stress management part, because I think this is going to be primarily the sales force, and you know how sales is.
And if it's primarily sales force, it means that you're getting people who have a higher income level who could get some care for themselves, right? As opposed to the $7.90 an hour workers who are stuffing packages.
Yeah,
right?
No, this is not the packaging facility. This is the headquarters.
Corporate, yeah. So that's great. So have something you can offer them. You can have them sign up here and then have a check column that says, check here if you would like to have a strategy session to just discuss if, you know, how I can support you.
Excellent. That gives me a direction.
Good. Great. Good job. Woo-hoo.
I know, right?
Okay, we'll go to Isabel, then we'll come back for your second question. How's that?
Okay.
All right. Isabel, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
So I have this person that I'm talking to her. She recently diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And I've been working with her in the past. Her diet is super clean. So she hasn't signed up with me yet. So she's kind of looking at, you know, the cost and the tests and different things. So with her, leaky gut is definitely something that I will investigate and help her with. And so I'm thinking, do you recommend tests for leaky gut, or it's just a given that, right?
No, there's so many tests that it's just, the only time you want to do them is really as a ammunition, so to speak, inspiration to get them to actually do the work. So they sometimes need to see.
She'll do the work. Yeah.
If she's going to do the work, don't waste her time. But if, you know, if you're doing stuff with the person and you're not seeing results that you expect, that's a good time to do testing, right? But it's real obvious if she's got rheumatoid arthritis, that's an autoimmune condition. Leaky gut is a given with autoimmune conditions. Right, you're going to work on getting her off all the, you know, the gluten and the grains and all that kind
she's
of stuff.
She's off all that.
She's off all that.
Yeah, I think stress, she said it herself, like she could, every time that she has an incident, a flare-up, it's related to a stressful situation.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can teach her methods to handle that. But the leaky gut's a biggie. The leaky gut's huge, right? So no, okay. I wouldn't test for it. I could probably count on one hand the number of times I don't know if I've ever even ordered. I've ordered the Cyrex leaky gut test a few times, but I don't order them much. I usually order them when the person says, oh, can we do a leaky gut test? Do I really have leaky gut? I'm not sure I really have leaky gut. Okay, we'll run the test and we'll waste your $225 when I could have told you that for free. Well, not for free, but, you know, included in the consultation fee. So it's the same thing with gluten. You know, I really am not a big fan. Who cares? Don't do the test. If you're willing to go gluten-free and test it, then that's great, right?
Yeah, I think the thing is she is gluten-free. She is grain-free. She's been eating really clean the last couple of years. And so she's very frustrated, like, why, you know, yeah. I've been.
Well, check the cross-reactivity, though.
Okay, so that one. Yeah, I did tell her about.
Because there's something on there that she's cross-reacting with. So if she's gluten and dairy-free, grain-free, sugar-free, mm-hmm. low glycemic. I mean, these are all the things you want to be looking at. Then there's a time for looking at a test, but leaky gut, not necessarily, because you could just deal with the leaky gut. If, you know, you continue to work on that and there's only a marginal improvement, stool testing would be much more effective than a leaky
gut. Yeah, that was what I was thinking. That or what about food sensitivity tests? I know they give balls. Positive or negative.
That's, again, a last resort for me. You just put them on an elimination diet, especially somebody who's very compliant. Somebody who's not willing to be compliant, you sometimes have to do it. But you get false negatives on those, and then people go, oh, I'm going to go back to eating gluten because it didn't show up on my IgE IgG tests when in reality it's still a problem. Mm-hmm. Again, like I said, I was listening to this book and Peter Osborne's going, best test for gluten sensitivity is to the genetic markers. If they have the genetic markers, I don't care if they have symptoms of it or if it's manifesting now or if they have the antibodies now, they have a tendency, it's going to happen, get them off gluten.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I was thinking about the stool analysis probably would be the most helpful.
Mm-hmm. That okay. Or something like an organic acid test to really hone in on specific nutrients that might be out of balance. Fatty acids, because rheumatoid arthritis, very often people who have inflammatory disorders are their omega-6-3 ratio. And a lot of people who are on a healthy diet, right, they are on a healthy diet, but the omega-6-3 ratios are off. And that's very easy to get off. We can be on these perfect diets, but we're drinking almond milk and, you know, eating too many pecans.
Okay.
And it throws those off. So that's an inexpensive test, like 120, 150, something like that.
That runs that.
Tons of information.
So which lab?
Which lab? I usually use Genova.
Genova. Okay. Yeah. Is that on Direct Lab?
You can get it through Direct Labs, yeah. Direct Lab. I usually do the blood spot fatty acid.
Okay.
There's also a lab that sells, it's the Vital Choice or something. There's some place that sells seafood that has a fatty acid test that you can get through them for $99.
Oh, okay. Vital Choice.
I think it was Vital Choice.
Vital Choice.
Somebody brought it in. She goes, look, Vital Choice has this test.
Okay.
But the thing I like about the fatty acid test, because you can get so much more, you can tell cofactors. So if you're looking at their ratios and you're saying, look at this, they have a really super high ALA, right? Or ALA, but really low EPA DHA, they're not converting, right? So that's delta-6 desaturase enzyme. What are the cofactors? You look them up. Oh, B vitamins, various minerals, vitamin C. Then you get an idea of what's missing. And you say, hey, are you eating a lot of chia and flax and walnut? Congratulations. Great. You're not converting them.
Okay.
You could see that right there. I see people sometimes with low ALA and high EPA DHA. So I go, oh, are you taking fish oils? How'd you know, right? And because sometimes I just randomly just look at people's tests because that's what happens. And yeah, they go, how do you know that? I said, well, you're not eating much in the way of the short chains like flax or chia. No, I don't eat that stuff, right? So there's ways, if you sit with one of their tests and you sit with that chart, that, you know, cute little chart with the firefighters with the hoses, that has all the list of all the you can tell what they're doing based on looking at that, like where their numbers are.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. That'd be a good one. Janine asked about the Dutch test. It doesn't come with a complete oat, but it comes with about 8 different organic acids. Six different organic acids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so there, Maria says, yeah, the Vital Choice is offering the same markers as Genova. And I think it's less expensive. I think it's only $99 and it's direct.
Oh, okay. Vital Choice. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you.
Cool. Yeah, you're welcome. Good questions.
I just want to clarify, I was asking. I was not.
Oh, you're asking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think it does, but you can look it up. And look up the, because usually they show a sample. The thing I like, I usually do just the blood spot fatty acid, which is just the omega-3 and 6s, and it gives you the short chain omega-3 and 6, and then it gives you the intermediates. Like on the 6 side, it'll show you GLA, DGLA, and AA, arachidonic acid. And this on the other side, it'll show the EPA, DHA. Now, they have a fancy schmancy that you have to get whole blood. So you have to go to the lab and have it drawn, which adds an extra expense and inconvenience. And that one will show the omega-9s. It'll show more of the intermediates. But I usually start with the basic one. I had somebody who had been depressed and all this stuff, and she'd been taking all this stuff. But we got her fatty acid test back, and she was way out of balance with 6 and 3, like 22 to 1. And I was like, whoa. And I said to her, well, we could try like vegan sources or we can go to fish oil. And she said, let's go to the fish oil. 3 months later, her ratio was back to like 4 to 1. And then she kept going, and I did another test 3 months later, and she shifted the other way. And I said, okay, let's back it off a little bit. Let's lower your fish oil dose. So that's I love that test, especially in an inflammatory condition and an autoimmune, because that's usually an omega-6-3 imbalance there.
Okay. I guess who is not in an inflammatory condition if you're overweight and obese?
Say that again. Who's what?
Who is not in an inflammatory state if you're overweight or obese?
They're definitely in an inflammatory
state. Right? So that's
a great test because
right. They
can spend a ton of money. Because, you know, a bottle of fish oil, like a month's worth, depending on what dose you're taking, could cost you anywhere from $30 to $100, right? And you don't want to put them on 3 to 4 grams of fish oil unless you know they need it, right? But some people need it. And you have to go there, but you only want to do it for the time they need it. And when you figure out how much extra they could be taking, the extra strain on their system, you don't want them to go to omega-3 dominant either, then you say it covers the cost of the test, especially this Vital Choice, which I think is like, okay, what does it say? It's like $99. Omega-3 index, total omega-3s, omega-3s, EPA, DHA, ALA, DPA, total omega-6, AA, EPA. They don't give you the GLA. That's the only thing I see missing. GLA and DGLA are missing on the omega-6 side. So that's important, especially with women who have hormonal imbalances. The GLA, like deficiencies of GLA are common in women with hormonal imbalances. It's also common in when you look at the Dutch and you look at the 5-alpha reductase enzyme. So the tendency to go down that pathway, like in men, it's the DHT, dihydrotestosterone. You really want to look at that GLA number. So kind of like it. But just to get a general inflammatory marker, the AA-EPA ratio is good. They don't give you the total amount of AA, but you can probably figure it out from there. Okay. Good question. Thank you, Isabel. Who else had? Susan had another question. Go ahead.
This has to going back to this ferritin and iron issue. And if it's already been addressed, just, I don't know where to go back and listen to it. So if you know that, then just let me know. But this whole, high ferritin, low iron issue that, I mean, 'cause I have it, which surprised me. I just found this out. And then I've seen it in 3 other labs of women. And, you know, of course, the first thing I would think of is, well, we need to slap something on there to raise the iron. But
no, it's the body is, or there's already too much iron and it's overstoring it rather than keeping it in the blood. Now, why is it doing that? Could be that you have oxidative stress and like too much iron in the blood is going to feed bacteria and microorganisms. So the body might be trying to store it. There was a chart I posted on a call, one of these calls, and it was the link probably was in the chat. I don't know if we ever posted it to the, we said we should, but I don't know if we ever did, posted it to the place in the blood chem, in the blood chem module. But there's a chart that had a really nice little listing of what it means, high, low, et cetera. You remember that, Lynn? You remember when? I don't remember. It was after I came back from that conference I did in Florida in April, but before I went away. So it was early April. So it was probably like, if you go back to the open coaching call like this, any of the ones in April, before April 19th, because then I was away. And you'll see in the chat notes a link to that chart. But Laura had was she had the high iron, low ferritin. And what we found is there's a mechanism by which you needed melatonin to convert iron from the ferrous or ferric to the other form to store it as ferritin. And so she was low in melatonin, and we did that and improved. Oftentimes it's inflammation or oxidative stress.
Okay, because my thought was, if I'm looking at a high ferritin, low iron, then should I be looking upstream to see why the ferritin to iron conversion isn't happening? Or is it
you're looking at always? High ferritin, low iron? Yeah. You want to know what is, and you got to do some digging. Lynn and I've done.
Where do I go find that?
I would go to Medline, or I would go just in Google and type in pathway, conversion, a biochemistry book, that sort of thing. It's not easy to find because I've tried finding it a couple of times. But it would definitely be there. It would
be curious.
There you go. Yeah, I've been curious about it too, but that chart was the closest I could come. But it's usually an inflammatory condition or an oxidative stress situation where the body's saying, nah, I don't think we want so much iron in the blood. Let's lower it. And inflammation, liver inflammation can cause high ferritin.
So would that have something to do with a high homocysteine level?
Well, homocysteine will be B12, B6, folate. It could be related. I don't know for sure. You have high homocysteine. Well, here's what I would do then. High homocysteine usually responds really well to B12, B6 and folate supplementation. So you could do something simple. Say it again.
In my case, I'm very high in B12. Like
B12 serum or methylmalonic acid?
Oh, that's a good question.
Okay. Right? And then you want to look at your MCV, because if your MCV is high.
No. But that's good to remind.
But your iron is low, so your MCV is going to move towards being lower. So when you have both an iron deficiency and a B12 deficiency, good old MCV looks normal. MMA would be a good one, which is, you're talking about doing the Dutch test, so you're going to get it on the Dutch test. They do MMA, so that'll give you an idea. And if you have issues with methylation, then your serum B12 may look high because it's not methylating and getting put into the system. So it's common.
Right, of course. Okay.
Fair amount. So it could be that. It won't hurt you to supplement it, but I would do the Dutch. If you're going to do the Dutch test anyway, do it first before you start supplementing.
So is there any reason to take yellow dot in this case, or is that just going to drive up the ferritin?
It might just drive up the ferritin. Yeah, because you've got plenty of iron in the system, just not in the right form. If you had low ferritin, if your ferritin was, 20 and you had low iron, yeah, absolutely. You want to be bringing up the iron. When you have high, how high is the ferritin? Over 100?
Mine in particular, I think is at 97.
That's pretty high.
I think it's too high.
Yeah, especially, and what's your iron at?
Oh, you would ask.
Under 40, under 50? I mean,
it was just outside the optimal range.
Just outside optimal. So probably around 60 to 80-ish.
I'm 66.
Okay.
Because I think 70 was the bottom end of optimal.
Okay. So it's just below. Yeah, I think 70 is the bottom end. So just a little off. So it's suboptimal. And how high was your homocysteine?
12?
Yeah. That's high.
That scared me.
That's high. Yeah.
I didn't to see that.
If you're going to go and do the Dutch test soon, then I would not do it and just do the Dutch test and then start supplementing right away.
Okay.
And then you could do the liposomal B12 and folate with a P5P for B6, or you can go for Homocyst X from Seeking Health, which has all of it plus other cofactors. And you should be able to bring the homocysteine down within 3 months of supplementation. Now, maybe not totally normal, but you should be able to bring it down pretty quickly. And then you want to see, does that change the iron ferritin ratio?
Oh, right.
I think the iron ferritin ratio is something we don't see documented anywhere. We don't see talked about. I think it's a really understudied thing. I just wish I had more answers, but it's on my radar to look and to shift things, because doctors will usually run one or the other and then base treatment on an incomplete picture. It's like running total cholesterol without running HDL and LDL. Like, okay, so the total cholesterol's borderline high, but maybe the HDLs are, you don't really know what you're dealing with when you have that.
Good. And that homocystex was by whom?
Seeking Health.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. Good.
Thanks.
So Lynn says it would be the April 18th open coaching call.
Perfect. I'll go there.
That one is on the call recording. Perfect. Thank you, Lynn.
Thanks, Lynn.
All right. Anybody else? We got about 12 minutes before I've got to get off.
I can use.
Okay.
This is quick. It's just to check in over here. So when I go to networking events or I whatever, and I collect names and things like that, I'm very good of kind of sending an email, following up with that, and yes. Yada, yada. What I'm not good at is actually getting on the phone with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and whatever excuses I'm making, not dedicating the time to make that a priority or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. So I'm trying to minimize that because I'm missing opportunities here, right? Do you know of people in the group who are actually using somebody to make that calls on that I could get? Not that I'm asking for the person, but what do you think if I get somebody who is good on the phone, that I get a little script to follow up on the meetings on my behalf? Mm-hmm. I send the email, right, fairly quickly, yeah. Let's say within 24 hours. But I also want that call to be within 3 days.
I would say it's a great idea. And so there's a number of ways you can do it. You can have, find a high school kid or a college kid that needs some extra that's just, outgoing. Maybe it's somebody who's majoring in communications or theater, or something where they have good vocal and interactive public speaking, right? I would find somebody, maybe it's somebody you already know, maybe it's somebody in your community already that just wants to make a little extra money. Right.
Right. And, I was thinking, I didn't write it down or anything like that, but something in these lines of, hi, I'm calling, my name is X, Sandra, let's say, and I'm calling on behalf of Maria from BFABU. You met at, 2 days ago at the event X, and, you said you want to connect with her, so I'm just calling in to check on the calendar so you can get together.
Absolutely. No, I think so. That's fine. I'd love to schedule a time that matches on your calendar and mine and hers so that you guys can chat more about your health and ways that she can support you in it.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I've given that. I had a friend who's she's now a massage therapist, but she was, a mom, as a homeschooling mom, very beautiful spirit and very, but I said, would you like to make some phone calls for me? And I identified a bunch of people and I said, I'm doing a new program. Just talk to them about, hey, Dr. Rita Marie asked me to call you. She really thinks you might be a good candidate for this. Can I get you on the calendar with her? And she scheduled me a whole bunch of calls and we filled the program that way.
So, okay. So to me, and again, I'm trying to debunk all issues here, but, to me sounds that this is viable for circumstances like that, a networking that somebody, I personally connected with the first time. Maybe it's a new person. Okay. Totally new person that I'm connecting for the first time. And, but I don't, okay. Do you think that this could be okay for people who I already know or even clients who I worked in the past but haven't touched base? Or
absolutely. That's what I did. I did it for people I already knew. They were on my list. Some of them I'd met. They'd come to my potluck. Some of them had been in like my green cleanse before, and I just had her call them. Hey, Dr. Rita Marie asked me to give you a call. Hey, Susie, how you doing? Maria says she's been, she's worked with you in the past and she misses you. And she asked me if I could touch base and set up a connection call so she can catch up with you and see if there's any way she could support you.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah. It doesn't look awkward or anything like that. Like somebody I know.
No.
All right. Okay. I think that might be a solution. So I can, and I guess if it is not a client, let's say that are my A list, you know, and can I say something about, you know, this person can say something, hey, Maria is very excited about, you know, X. So let's say my immersion program, you know, or a new program.
Maria has some new stuff on the horizon. Yeah. She's really excited about it. And she wants to chat with you about it to see if it's a good match.
Yeah. Or not even a good match, but really see, pick, you know, to check, you know, see their opinion about it or whatever, because not everybody's a match, really. I don't want to think that's a sales call here.
Yeah. Maria wants to talk to you about it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe.
And it'll be easier for you. I get you. I hear you. I am not a good person at initiating phone calls. Get me on the phone and I'm Miss Chatterbox. But I don't like initiating phone calls and following up with people. Number one, it's time consuming because if they're not there and you're leaving messages. But for me, it's just even just calling up a repair person. I don't like it. You think like I get nervous about being on the phone, Miss Chatterbox? No, I don't. I don't like it. But if somebody else does it and sets up the calls, I'll get on the phone and I love it.
Yeah.
So just go with what feels right and don't judge yourself or feel you don't do it. If you procrastinate something and you're Miss Bubbly and outgoing, it's not like you're introverted or anything, you know, there's something holding you back. So when you procrastinate something, ask what's holding you back. If you don't feel comfortable with it or you don't think it's a great use of your time, you want somebody else, just do it. You should be able to. I paid her $10 an hour to call these people.
Yeah, I was in a networking today and I mentioned this to the guy who is going to do, you know, the male version for my group online fitness is going to be my thing, model, I guess. I mentioned this to him and he says, oh, you know, I'm thinking about my wife helping people like you just to, you know, and so we're going to talk. Because it's like, oh, it's not to make a big money, but really give her something to do. And she's great on the phone and yada, yada. So
think about how many people, how many women are out there who have babies that they were in corporate. They're taking a 6-month time off, but they like to do that. Or maybe they weren't in corporate. Maybe they're a secretary, maybe whatever. But there's a lot of people out there who would really enjoy having a little bit of something to do that way.
Yeah. And also I was thinking a person like that could make all these phone calls because I really want to speak more. So maybe they can reach out to organizations, nonprofits or networking events to say, hey, you know, got this. And is, you know, if there are, you're looking for speakers, yada, yada, yada. And see how, because that would break, it would kind of, you know, make a relief.
That's how I've gotten all the speaking engagements I've had over the last couple of years.
Oh, you asked somebody else to do it? Ah, just make a phone call and see what happens and follow up via email and things like that.
She's listed different events that are happening. She keeps track and she calls up and, you know, we haven't done a lot of them, but she definitely has been the one that's found them, not me.
Okay. All right. I think I'm going to open it up for that. Okay. Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. All right. Don't see any other hands up. So anything else before we go? Yeah. So Lynn says, come from the heart of service and you'll be doing them a great favor. Yeah. And that's what you want to make sure that whatever script, quote unquote, you write, that you know, that's what it does. It's coming from that heart and you train them that's what you want to come from. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Bye, everybody. I'm going to unmute you all so you can all say goodbye to each other. Put your video on.
Bye. Thank you.
Remember, we're not having the call next week, but we'll get back on track in June. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.